what that means.
I know what it means.
It is time for Message in the Bottle, our weekly visit to the wine country. We don't even have to leave the studio to do it because Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese joins us right here.
It's the easiest thing.
It is, absolutely.
Though we do have an international airport here, so it's actually, we could go visit wine country.
We could, but
we simply don't have the time.
No, not in 8-10 minutes. It would be crazy. So we let you do the heavy lifting for us.
Let's do it. Let's travel. Where are we traveling today?
Well, I don't know, but before we get there, though, before we begin our journey, I need to know what happened last week with your dancing excursion.
Well, I got to tell you, so I was going to sub in with one of my lovely customers whose husband chose to sub out, and so I said no, I'd be happy to dance with her. I got there, and there was a young gentleman who was partnerless, so I ended up just demonstrating with my wife. So I got an hour of dancing with my beautiful wife, and it went so well. And also her sub for tonight is ill, so I am going again.
Wow.
I have been invited back. I'm as stunned as anyone else.
I'd say, Stack, I believe Eric got the downtown bump. Come on the show. Good things happen. I'm just saying.
I'm a firm believer. It's a good thing.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's a miracle. I attribute it to being able to count to four over and over again.
See, those skills do come in handy.
Yeah, it was fun, though. I mean, you know, I must say, my wife and I are business partners as well as, you know, life partners, as it were. But we both have different styles, and even in this one, it sort of started to come to bear. And I had to remind myself that, indeed, it is she who is boss, which is a good thing to remind myself in general anyway.
Yes, keep that in mind always. So,
yes,
we begin our journey. Where are we going this week?
Right, we're going to Spain. So this is our last week of January in the theme of exploring wines on a budget. And thus seeking out wines from interesting areas that may be producing wine and may have a long tradition of producing wine, but simply don't have the, frankly, the market clout to demand high prices. And frankly, we can win in that. And if you'll remember, the first wine we tried was a nice Moscato, so a sweet kind of frothy wine from an area of Italy that is not super known for much beyond mass-produced wine. Then last week we did South African wine, and we talked about how that's sort of an emerging wine culture that's been around since the mid-1600s. So today we're doing the first wine that we've tasted that is a red wine, and it is from Jumilla, Spain, Jumilla. So the Jumilla, which is in southeast Spain, and a region that's very, very unknown, but dotted all over with really, really intriguing, mostly red wine regions that, interestingly enough, and something that I'll touch on today, and I'm sure will be a repeated theme throughout what we do here, is there was a bug called the Phylloxera louse that hopped aboard, got a free ride over to Europe from North America back when they were sending a lot of botanical clippings back to be studied by the great universities of Europe. And they brought this bug along, and it just so happened to really enjoy eating the roots of vines, and destroyed about 98% of Europe's vineyards in the 1870s to 1890s. But this area, interestingly enough, escaped that. And so they had a really thriving wine industry because the rest of Europe still wanted to drink. God knows. So that's where a lot of their wine was sourced from, and there's a lot of regions in Spain that were like that. So unfortunately, they got their comeuppance in 1989 when Phylloxera actually did rear its head. What ended up happening is that the North American root stock is impervious to this bug, so they ended up grafting on because vines are very graftable, anybody out there. And this is sort of an interesting emerging subculture here in Maine. I'm noticing that pruning and grafting is sort of an interesting hobby that folks are taking on. And it's very vital. So anyway, grapevines are very graftable and mutatable as well. And so they the dirty little secret is that 98% of Europe's vines are planted on North American rootstock.
Interesting.
And so, indeed, that's what this region had to do as well after 1989, because they left their vines that were susceptible to the bug, and then they got eaten. Would you like to taste some wine?
Would I ever, yes.
I don't know if our friend in the booth wants to taste some as well. And I remind everybody out there in Radio Land, swirl your wines.
I am swirling.
I was doing a presentation for about 70 lawyers and spouses and things, and somebody asked, do we have to do it in space? And I said, no, if you simply put the glass on a table and gently swirl, usually you can achieve the same effect without risking friends' cashmere sweaters and things like that. I have seen it happen. Mm. So this is a really, really beautiful wine, and I'll talk about it. So the main red grape of this region, Humilla, is the grape Monastrell. And if we were in France, they would call it Mourvèdre. And if we were in California, parts of it, they call it Mataro. But by and large, it's known as Monastrell. And it's a really nice sort of bold red with skins not quite as thick and therefore not quite as tannic as your cabs and stuff. So for people who really like something that's, full and very versatile but not uber heavy or bitter or anything, it's a wine that really doesn't tend to bite back in any way.
It's very subtle.
Yeah. Mm. A lot of aromas of, black, raspberry and chocolate and mocha, and can really be a really wonderful wine to slip into at the end of an evening. Certainly, it can be had on its own or with food. But just a tremendous, tremendous wine. And again, this is a wine that we sell for $11.99. So it's really right in that lower price point of what we were talking about. That sort of $12 to $16 is really the new everyday price point for a nice bottle of wine.
This is wonderful. This might be my favorite of the three we've sampled so far. This is great.
Yeah, an awful lot of people, if sweet isn't your, although, I mean, this actually is kind of jammy enough to be a sweet wine, but if sweet isn't your thing and you're liking the Moscatos and stuff like that, frankly, a lot of people drink red wine, more than white wine or more, than sweet wines in general. So, it's very easy for me to recommend wines like this when you're coming in. I need a gift and I have no idea what to get. Well, right. Chances are they'll like something like this an awful lot. Mm. And before we wrap up, I want to touch on what we're going to talk about all next month.
Great.
So this, and it's a nice dovetailing, because this wine is made with, and stresses right on the label, made with organic grapes, right? And I get countless questions at both stores about, where's your organic section, or is this a sustainably farmed wine, or are the grapes happy? Do they get
are they free range grapes?
Are they free range grapes? And we'll explore other health aspects as we go on in the months. It's a real thing that people care about what they're putting in their system. And certainly now we're getting even more questions because of New Year's resolutions, things like that.
Right.
People are in there saying, all right, well, I need to take better care of myself. And my doctor said red wine, or I really care about, the earth. Well, that's good. That's relevant. And we'll touch on a lot of interesting aspects of what a lot of better winemakers are doing that are not strictly in keeping with any given set of practices and therefore are sort of undefinable. But this particular wine is made with organically grown grapes, which means the winery itself didn't have to go through any sort of inspection. So it's, you can't certify it this or this, but at least the grapes were grown with organic practices. Mm. Which is nice. It's nice to be able to sometimes have a label tell you that without having to seek it out.
Very nice. Any tastings coming up this week?
We have we're finishing up this month and heading into February. And in February we're working up a couple of our regular tastings, of course, which would be on the 17th and 19th at Bangor Wine and Crossroads Beverage, respectively, for next month. And then we're also in talks for several interesting tasting / hopefully food involved, either wine dinners or hors d'oeuvre sort of things. There's a new vineyard in Maine, for instance, that's very eager to come up to Bangor and make their mark, and I've tasted some of their wines and they're really delightful, and they themselves are trying to grow grapes and really do something with the viticulture industry here in Maine, so that's exciting as well. So there'll be more information coming up on that. But for no, right now, I would highly recommend that people come on in, do their own tastings. It's still crock pot weather. It's a balmy 47 degrees here in Bangor today, so I know it's shorts weather practically. In fact, I've definitely seen at least three people in shorts today. Yeah.
Welcome to Maine.
Yeah, it's cool. Being from New Jersey, it just gives me a good solid laugh. Man, I respect it. I try to teach my kids, like, you're from Maine. They tear up at like 30 degrees. No, like, this is not acceptable.
You can't have that.
I can't have it.
No. Hey, stop in and see Eric, Christine, the whole gang. Bangor Wine and Cheese, of course, at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Massimo's and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Crossroads Beverage Company, 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. We post all of our Message in the Bottle segments on our website at downtownwithrichkimble.com, and you're posting them on the Bangor Wine and Cheese website.
That is absolutely true. Go to either Bangor Wine and Cheese or Crossroads Beverage websites, and you can click. Now we have a dedicated Downtown with Rich Kimble link, and you go on there, and everything's clickable. And one of my customers was actually asking about podcasting, and I said, I have no idea because I'm uber analog, but maybe we can explore that
absolutely
at some point as well.
Yeah. That sounds like a plan to me. Thanks, Eric.
Great. Thank you, Rich.
Eric Mann here on Downtown. Message in the Bottle. It's 5:31. When we come back, we've got